token press, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your son you sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. And I want
sprouting up, mm-hmm. but you can keep it from flourishing and producing seed.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That is seeds of destruction, right?
Yeah.
We just thoroughly thought about last week. So how do you keep the weed from flourishing? You remove it from your garden. Right? You remove it from your garden. That's what you do. So when I was a boy, I was hoeing peanuts and pulling weeds. I focused on the weeds. I was miserable. I was miserable. Focusing on those weeds. Mm. I was not happy. The circumstances around me were deplorable. Mm. Hot sun, hot sand, lots of weeds, long rows of weed-filled peanuts. Sweaty, hot, tired. On and on, you know, that's what I focused on. Mm-hmm. Yes, I should have focused temporarily on the weeds. Mm-hmm. In order to removal, but then I should have focused on the peanut plants and how well they would grow with the weeds removed and how much more fruitful they would be without those weeds. So there is a time to focus on the weeds, but you focus on them long enough to get them out of there. And then you focus on the good plants, right? Fleshly matters are so numerous, they can overwhelm us. Right? Fleshly matters. Fleshly matters, just day-to-day stuff, you know, sometimes.
Amen.
In our culture, our society, we are surrounded by fleshly matters. Everyone around us seems obsessed with them.
Yeah.
Advertisements, commercials, billboards.
Amen.
I mean, you can't get away from billboards. You know, you can turn off the TV, you can turn off the radio, but you got billboards, you know, you can't close your eyes when you're riding down the road. I'm sorry. Don't do that. Don't do that, guys.
Don't
okay?
Try that.
I'm not advocating that. Don't do that, okay? But, you know, they all hit us with fleshly thoughts, fleshly desires. Even reading the New Testament, we will be constantly reminded of things that we should not do, attitudes we should not have. Even if you read the New Testament, Brother David, you're still going to be hit with some things, some bad things. Give an example. This is what struck me. I did this a few years ago, and I was, you know, because it seemed like every time I read the New Testament, I keep seeing this stuff. In the New Testament, by my count, I did a count on it, there are 244. Now let me repeat that. 244 warnings or mentions of negative actions, attitudes, or lifestyle. In all, these encompass 171 separate Greek words or phrases. Some of them are repeated, but there's 171 separate evil things in the Bible, in the New Testament itself, that we are warned about. In Mark 7, 21 through 23, Jesus speaks of 13 evil things which defile a man. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, right before the fruit of the Spirit, right, Paul lists 17 works of the flesh. There are 19 in 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. Romans 1, 28 through 31 lists 25 things that are worthy of death. Get a picture here. Almost every book in the New Testament. You can't hardly read the New Testament without running into some of these lists. Even Revelations has a list of people who will not be on the new earth. The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, if I can say that, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. I don't be there. That is a lot of weeds.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weeds, isn't it? Well, there are plenty of warnings. We cannot totally ignore them, but we can take them and learn from them. We can take it and learn from them. Can we also take them and use them to encourage us to deepen our walk with God? You know, we don't want them just to be a negative example. Can we use them to deepen our walk with God? Is such a thing possible? Well, I don't know about you, but I think that ridding my life of evil things is easier than weeding a row full of peanuts that is full of cockleburrs. Now, it may sound strange until you see a row full of cockleburrs. All right, now, what's a cockleburr? Y'all know what a cockleburr is? Anybody know what a cockleburr is? It's a plant that grows up and it has big, terrible leaves. They're harsh, they're rough, they have edges that kind of scratch you. And the leaves will spread out like an oak leaf, you know, like, you know, the shade. It'll shade the plant. And they come up on a single stalk. A single stalk will come up, pop those leaves out real quick, and they'll completely shade the peanut plant underneath it. Completely shade it. Well, that peanut plant, if it can't get any sun, what's it going to do? Not going to do much, is it? It's so I look at a row. We had one particular spot in the field that's just full of them, you know. Mm-hmm. I look at this row, it'd just be I couldn't even see the peanuts. It's just a row of cockleburs. Mm-hmm. The peanut plant would be underneath the cockleburr plant. Mm-hmm. All right? And it would just be all I see is leaves of cockleburs. Mm-hmm. I'd come by and we'd pull these things up. And green, smelly junk on your hands, you know, pulling those things up. You look back at the row, you see these puny little pink peanuts mm-hmm. that you just freed from those cockleburrs. Now they can grow, mm-hmm. you know. But they were all puny because the cockleburrs had been shading them. Mm-hmm. Now, a cockleburr, if you let it grow up, it's go to seed. It makes a seed that's worse than Velcro. it will stick to you, uh-huh. all right? I mean, and it is hard to get that thing off. It's like pulling Velcro off. Mm-mm. Let a dog get in a cockleburr patch and come back to you and be like, ah, you know, don't get away from it, you know? Yeah. I mean, and you try to get it out of it. I mean, you just might as well cut it out because this is, those hairs wrap in there and just there, wow. right? Mm-hmm. So if you let it go to seed, you really got a problem, all right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, you look at a row, you can't even see the peanuts. Maybe your disciples look like that. Maybe they look like they got so many bad things. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing so many bad things, you can't even see the good mm-hmm. or all the bad things. But if the evil things can be removed, then the disciple can grow and can mature and become fruitful. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we're going to talk about some things. Mm-hmm. And as a teacher, I got to walk very carefully, all right? As I discuss these things, I don't want to focus too much on the negative, all right? So we're going to talk a little bit about it, but I'm not going to focus too much, hopefully, on the negative. But we need to talk about some of these things, and what do we do with it? What do we do with them? So the first thing I want to talk about, let me erase this battle here. First off, let me just reread. I'm going to reread that list that I gave y'all a couple of weeks ago. Reread this quote. There's a soul that is cluttered with unforgiveness. Bitterness. Anger. Greed. Pride. Lust. Idolatry. Fear. And cares. Will crowd out Jesus, his life, healing, provision, and nature. Crowd them out. So here we got unforgiveness. Now, this particular list isn't found as it is in the Bible. This was just a list this author came up with. And I'm using this list just as an example of some things, okay? So it's not a hard and fast rule or anything like that. So let's talk about how these things will crowd out even the provision of Jesus. Okay? Right. God's trying to bring you provision. But if you've got these things, they'll crowd it out.
Yeah.
Would you do without food and shelter? Would you rather do that in order to hang on to your bitterness? Mm-hmm. To hang on to your anger, your fear, your pride? Would you do without food and drink? Hang on to your pride. Think about that, you know. Mm-hmm. Homeless folks, you know, they got their pride, but they get to the point where they'd rather eat. That's what they ask for help. They'd rather eat. Yeah. So unforgiveness is the one thing in this list which definitely deals with our relationship with others. Mm-hmm. Okay? Definitely deals with our relationship with others. Jesus was often stressing the need for forgiveness. Seemed like he couldn't talk about giving. He couldn't talk about prayer without talking about forgiveness.
Mm.
How we need to forgive. Whether our unforgiveness is targeted toward a boss, a company, a group, family member, a friend, or even God. We need to do as Jesus says and just forgive them. God has forgiven us. That's what he said. And did you notice I didn't say pastor or church member? We would have unforgiveness. No comment. Well, I bet this is not the first church you've attended, right? Yeah. So how do we stop being unforgiving? How do we stop being unforgiving? How would you advise someone to stop being unforgiving? How would you know you're discipling someone and you find out they got unforgiveness? How would you advise them? No. Let me tell you how to stop being unforgiving.
Love them anyway.
I'm sorry?
Be thankful.
Be thankful.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Anybody else?
Love them.
Huh?
Love people.
You love them. Okay, yes. Is that easy to do?
It becomes easy.
Well, who claimed it was easy? You know, I mean, forgiving somebody is not easy. You know, nobody said it was easy. But Jesus said that the way to salvation was very narrow. Mm-hmm. That very few would find it.
Yeah.
Are we going to be one of the few that make it?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, don't you want to be?
Yeah.
Are you willing to do anything to gain eternal life? So, yeah, unforgiveness is kind of hard to let go of.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to let go of somebody. But the thing that I think, like you say, focus, gratitude, be thankful that God forgave you.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm so glad he forgave me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be so grateful. I'm going to forgive whoever. Okay? But if God can forgive me of what I did, you know, yeah.
Yes, I've heard unforgiveness. Well, when you hold a grudge, you feel like that person owes you something. And so it helps me to just picture what I think that they owe me and say, okay, you don't owe me anymore.
God. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Jesus would talk about forgiveness, he talked about debts. Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Forgive us.
Yeah. I read one time for one good marriage equals two forgivers.
There you go.
That's good.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next one. Two kind of go together, I don't know.
Could you go ahead and add yes to unforgiveness?
Oh, there we go.
Bitterness.
Bitterness refers to food you do not want to eat. Right?
Yeah.
It refers to food you do that tastes bad, mm-hmm. and it often indicates poison.
Yeah.
Right? We got a natural, poison.
Mm-hmm.
Taco birds are poison.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will sicken and kill animals that eat them. Did you know that? They're literally poison.
Mm.
If an animal gets in and eats the leaves of taco birds, some of them get sick and die.
Oh, really?
There's a bird that can eat them, but there's a lot of animals that they eat the taco birds, they get sick and die.
Mm. Wow.
Don't get me started on talking with you. The same is true of teaching, doctrine, thoughts, and attitudes. Okay? They affect one like a poison does,
mm-hmm.
killing that which is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get this now. Evil teaching, bad teaching,
mm-hmm.
doctrine, thoughts, and attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
They can build up in a person.
Yeah.
They can poison that person and mm-hmm. just kill what hope there is that is alive, just kill it.
Yeah.
If I harbor bitterness in my mind and heart, then my family and friends will see it and be affected.
Mm-hmm.
To protect themselves, they will pull away and separate themselves from the bitter person.
Mm-hmm.
If I, as a teacher, have bitterness in an area, I can cause great harm to my listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to watch out for that, you know, because you don't want to start spreading that around.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So here's got a few verses here. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Mm-hmm.
You see how that can defile others, defile your family, defile your friends, defile your people you're teaching to? Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Mm-hmm. My brothers, this ought not be so.
Amen.
Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?
Mm-hmm.
No. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Bitterness. Lying against the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, things are connected together. So how do people become bitter?
Forgiveness.
Actually, that is often true. They often go together. Someone mm-hmm. will be unforgiving, and they'll hang on to it, and hang on to it, and hang on to it, and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else? Anything else? Mm-hmm. What about disappointment?
Yeah.
Toward God. I expected him to do something for me. Blank. And it didn't come true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bitter at God because my child died. My spouse died. My father, my mother, my brother died. Sister, mm-hmm. whatever. I'm bitter. You wind up getting bitter. That disappointment, that grief can turn into bitterness.
Yeah.
Right?
I've heard that Jimmy Evans is putting on preaches on marriage, and he was saying, you know, how you hear, you know, money's the root of divorce. He said it's not, it's disappointment. Mm-hmm.
Disappointment. Mm-hmm. Can lead to bitterness, you know, mm-hmm. you deal with a disappointment. How do we get rid of bitterness? How would you advise one of your disciples how to get rid of bitterness?
Forgive.
Okay, forgive.
And love.
A lot of times we think, well, God, you took away my love person, loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't forgive you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can turn into bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do in that case is do what? We need to understand why God took away my loved one. It was Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
God brings life.
Right.
Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill.
Kill and destroy.
Kill and destroy. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So let's keep that right. Get our thinking right.
Yeah. Understanding.
Yeah. Well, how do you get rid of the bitterness? Well, we can change our focus from the weeds to the peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Out there in that peanut field, I'm hot, I'm sweaty, tired,
mm-hmm.
and all I see is more weeds, right? Because I'm looking in front. But if every now and then I'll turn around and look at the peanuts I've just cleaned out,
mm-hmm.
I get my focus off the weeds.
All right.
I'm going to have that peanut underneath that weed, you see. And so... we focus on what God wants us to become,
mm-hmm.
right? Not what we've been or what we are now.
Yeah.
Right? Stop eating poison.
Mm-hmm.
Stop eating it.
Yeah.
Stop listening to bad teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Stop listening to bad preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Stop listening to bad advice.
Mm-hmm.
And stop listening to the demonic influences in your mind.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
Just stop listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, okay, I'm hearing some bad stuff in my mind. It's time to praise the Lord. It is time to praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think I'll spend some time praising the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Get in my hymn book. Get in my song book. Turn on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, this preacher was telling about this lady. She just went to the Lord to tell God, I'm getting ready to backslide. You know, she was kind of disappointed in some things that didn't happen in her life. So she went to him to tell him that, to tell Jesus, I'm getting ready to backslide. And she said when she got all down on her knee, she started thinking about all the good things that God had done. And she started saying, thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When she got up, she found no room to backslide. She couldn't tell him, hey, I'm going to backslide. She was so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we see the weed and get focused so on the weed,
mm-hmm.
on what's not happening,
yeah.
that we lose conscience of the things that God has already done,
mm-hmm.
and the things that he said he will do.
Mm-hmm.
We just, you know, move our focus.
Yeah. Praying strengthens your focus.
Amen.
That's a good thing to end on. I appreciate that. Yeah. And so we're gonna end up on that one. But yeah, you know.
This is good.
Sometimes we need to do a little math.
Mm-hmm.
Count our blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And keep counting, until we run out of number. Right? Amen. Okay, so we'll continue this next week. So that'll be fun.
Man.
Amen.
That was good.
Father, we thank you so much for loving us and being with us. And we ask your blessings to be upon us today as we go forth. Father, bless this food and bless our fellowship. May you be glorified in everything that we think, do, and say.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.